From America's frontier, Nebraska, it's time for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by the Minnow Bucket in North Platte. The Minnow Bucket, nobody has a better selection of outdoor tools and toys for every hunting excursion. Gear up at the Minnow Bucket, 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Now, time for the show. Here's your host of the Outdoor Connection, Rick Windham.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Outdoor Connection. Remember that tomorrow we'll be doing the tribute to 9/11, and that kind of preempted my normal Friday show. But my guest this morning is Tony Shonan. I believe that. Tony, tell me if I got that right.
Yes, sir, you got it right. You got it close enough.
Very good. He is with Boone and Crockett, and I think anybody that's a hunter knows of the name Boone and Crockett and at least something about the organization. So thank you for being on the show today. I know it took a while to get this one set up with changes on both your end and my end. And I also wanted to commend you on your communications lead that I've dealt with through this whole process, getting all this set up, Jody Stemler. She's been wonderful to work with. Good lady.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on, Rick. And yes, Jody is a fine young lady.
And I found out, too, here just the end of last week that she was through North Platte. She and her family come here, and they hunt grouse and stuff up in the hills just north of town. So that was very good to hear.
Yeah. Well, she and her husband and her daughter are all avid sportsmen and women. They hunt a lot.
Very good. How long has Boone and Crockett been around?
Boone and Crockett Club was founded in 1887. It's been around a while.
I guess, yeah. And who started the organization and why?
So, the organization was actually started and founded by Theodore Roosevelt. At the time, Roosevelt, in 1883, he lost his wife and his mother on Valentine's Day, and he was a pretty depressed guy, so he went west. He had a couple of ranches in Medora, North Dakota. He went west and spent a couple of years roaming around Montana, Idaho, Wyoming, in the Dakotas, and saw a lot of decimation of our wildlife, pillaging our natural resources. In 1887, he returned to New York City, and he called a meeting of his friends who he felt could influence a change in those practices, and on December, the first weekend of December in 1887, he called the first meeting to be the Crockett Club. And those early members were people of influence in the areas of education, science, industry, politics, and that's how it got started. And we celebrate our annual meeting on the first Saturday of every December, and we have done that for 134 years.
Very good. I don't think many people realize how much of a conservationist Teddy Roosevelt was and how much of what we have today we can attribute to some of his efforts.
Yeah, no, in fact, all those guys, you know, Roosevelt was a statesman. I mean, he could speak to the public, and he was a passionate individual. He surrounded himself with some very smart guys too. George Bird Grinnell, for example, you know, kind of figured out what conservation was all about, how to apply it in North America. And Gifford Pinchot was another founding member, and Gifford Pinchot ended up being the first chief of the U.S. Forest Service. So, you know, there was a unique group of people that had a vision that basically set, set the North American model up for success. And I'm not sure they actually knew what the outcome was going to be, but they certainly had a vision for how to make things better.
And obviously it's worked, because we're still the envy of much of the modern world with how we do how we do our work. In today's world, what's the primary mission of Boone and Crockett?
Well, you know, our mission's pretty much always been the same. I mean, we want to promote the conservation and management of wildlife, especially big game. That's our primary emphasis. But also its habitat, and to preserve and encourage hunting, and to maintain the highest ethical standards of fair chase and sportsmanship. And, you know, that's kind of a big, long mission. However, the club started, it was rooted in policy, in conservation policy at the very beginning. It's still our primary focus. But we do have, we also spend a lot of time on education and demonstration. And education, we have a brain trust of academics and professional wildlife managers that help us solve our problems when we identify it. You know, whether it's a piece of legislation that needs to be passed or an issue like CWD or forest health. You know, we have experts that help to come together and help us come up with solutions to those issues. So our mission is succinct, but it's got a lot of moving parts to it, if that makes any sense.
Yes, it makes perfect sense. With respect to fair chase, there's one story I remember about Teddy Roosevelt, and I believe he was in Mississippi. And they were doing a bear hunt, and they had run the bear with dogs, and when they finally caught up to it, it was a less than mature bear, and it was just about exhausted. And Roosevelt refused to take the shot. He said, nope. He said, that's just not right. I've always thought of that story and thought, you know, that's a pretty good decision, pretty ethical.
You know, there's one more piece to that, Rick, and that is that bear was tied to a tree.
Oh, my
goodness.
That
photograph, and he refused to take that shot. That photograph ended up in the New York Times, and this guy who made toys contacted Roosevelt and asked him if he could use his name on a bear.
That's where
the teddy bear came from, yeah.
That was a classic piece of marketing there.
Yeah.
Now, most hunters probably know Boone and Crockett from its official measuring and scoring system. When did they develop that system?
So, you know, it was basically developed in the 1930s. But even though it's the most popular face of the club, you know, the scoring system itself is actually a measurement tool. You know, when they started all this conservation work in the early 1900s, you know, they started the U.S. Forest Service and the National Park Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and all these efforts. They needed to have a way to measure the success of what they'd done. So the science at the time, that pretty much remains intact today, was that if you take a mature male specimen out of an ecosystem, then that's an indicator that ecosystem is healthy. And that scoring system has been in existence now since the 1930s. We have file cabinets and computers and, I mean, full of data on every entry that was ever taken. And that data is used by a lot of our friends in the wildlife management, professional wildlife management agencies to compare notes, tabulate data, you know, what's going on with this ecosystem versus that ecosystem. So it's a pretty valuable data set.
I can imagine it would be a great source of data for looking at that. Let's say whitetails, and you can separate it by state and probably into a smaller area than that, by maybe down even to the county level.
We can separate down to the county level.
Very good. That if you really want to do some research and you're looking for a trophy whitetail, that might be a good place to start. Is that something that, you know, I as an individual can contact Boone and Crockett and say, tell me where the highest percentage of trophy whitetails are taken in Nebraska?
Well, you know, we just developed a new website in the last year, and this is one of the things that we're going to be talking about how to do is we have what we call trophy search. That's actually up and running, and I would strongly encourage anybody who's looking for, you know, information on a particular trophy or a particular area to go to that. We're going to add a map layer to that at some point. Right now, our friends at Onyx do have maps. If you have that app on your phone, you can actually, you know, determine counties and ownership and all that kind of thing on that app. So, you know, we're not as quite down as far down that road as we want to be, but there is some information that exists out there, Rick.
Technology always evolves, so you'll get there.
We will.
Now, if a hunter has what they believe is a trophy animal, how do they go about getting an official measurement on it?
You know, that is not difficult at all. Again, they can go to our website, and we have 1,500 and some official measures out there. They can find the closest one, and his contact or her contact information will be on there, and they can reach out to that measure, and that measure will come and measure their animal for them.
Very good. Now, kind of sliding over to the politics side of things, I know Boone and Crockett has a position statement on the Biden 30-30 initiative. And just as a background for you, Nebraska has come out against that. Our governor has come out against that. So where does Boone and Crockett now stand on the 30-30 initiative plan?
So that's an interesting story, Rick. And I'm going to have to abbreviate it because there was a group in the sporting, in the hunting and sporting community that spotted this as a potential issue last fall. And that initiative originated in Europe. And, you know, in Europe, they don't have a funding model like we have.
Right.
Hunters and anglers buying license and paying excess. They don't have a North American model of wildlife conservation. So when that thing came stateside, there was a coalition called the 30 by 30 Coalition that consisted of a number of sportsmen's groups. And we, after the first year, we started asking for audiences with both the Department of Interior and Ag as a representation of our community. And we had three pretty simple questions. One was, what does the word protection mean? And the second one was, what counts? I mean, we've been in the business now for 134 years. Does everything we've done count in this 30 by 30 initiative? And the third thing was, who's got seats at the table? Because we know who doesn't. So we went through through three different sessions with those folks. And the other thing that we really pushed hard on was, you know, the term conservation is pretty liberally used. And the true meaning of that term conservation is wise and shared use. It's entirely different from preservation. Preservation is a tool in the toolbox of conservation. But it is, you know, so when you say preserve, that's an entirely different thing than when you say conserve. And so we needed to make sure they understood the difference between those two things. And these were very congenial meetings, you know, and finally they asked our community to say, okay, you know, why don't you guys provide us with collaborative, with examples of collaborative conservation that's working on the ground? Because, again, I mean, we were worried about, you know, like the ranching and farming community, for example. They're huge conservation, contributors to conservation, you know, by managing their lands the way they do.
Absolutely.
We want to keep that culture intact. So, at the end of the day, when the report came out, the American Beautiful Report came out on May 6th, the good news is that they heard us. You know, this conservation and preservation and the difference between the two is right on page one. And hunting and fishing, and ranching and farming, those things were mentioned throughout the report. Hunting and fishing in particular was mentioned no less than 11 times. So they heard what we had to say. Now, where we're at today is we're keeping our fingers on the pulse of are we going to see. And they're going to walk the talk, basically, if that means anything. And
right.
We're trying to be there and be as supportive as possible because, you know, we've got folks that are very interested in what we're doing. They're being very inclusive at this stage of the game. And all of these are good signs. We just got to make sure that we continue down the right path on this.
Very good. I'm glad we've got you watching. For us out here in the field, the hunters at the grass level roots, we're glad we've got somebody watching. We're going to
I can tell you this, Rick. Unbeknown to a lot of American sportsmen and women, our community is probably better organized than we've ever been in the last, for several decades. In the last 20 years, we've accomplished a lot. So rest assured, there's a whole lot of folks out there that are watching out for your back.
Very good. We're going to need to take a commercial break, but when we're done, I still have a couple questions for you, if you could stay with us, Tony.
You betcha. I sure can, Rick.
Very good. We'll be right back after these messages, folks.
Jansen Chrysler Jeep Dodge now at their new location just north of the interstate between the exit. Or see their inventory at JansenChryslerJeepDodge.com. That's JansenChryslerJeepDodge.com. Earning your trust one customer at a time.
Seven dealerships, working for you.
This time of year, you've no doubt heard the shop local messages. Our local business owners truly do appreciate it. But shopping local has many important benefits, like growing our region's tax base. Whether you realize it or not, when you shop local, you are individually stimulating the local economy with your support, and in turn, helping shape your community's unique character and personality. Shopping in a local business district means less infrastructure, less maintenance, and more money available to beautify your community. Also, spending locally instead of online ensures that your sales taxes are reinvested where they belong, in your community. When it's time to shop, shop local. These businesses would appreciate it. CJ's Liquor, the Switchyard Grill and Pub, Jansen Auto Group, Dairy Queen, the Sutherland Sportsman's Cove, the Cedar Room, and the Flower Market.
It's Stump the Chumps on Outdoor Connection with Rick Windham and TJ of the Minnow Bucket, where they open up the phone lines and let you determine the topics and the flow of the show. It's your chance to call in and put their outdoor knowledge to the test, or maybe your own. Phone lines open up in the KODY studios once a month on Friday at 8:30. So have your questions ready, and if you can stump the guys, you might even win a prize. Keep listening to Outdoor Connection on KODY.
Area farmers, let's get harvest started. This is Jeff with Northwest Cattle Feeders at Brule, Nebraska. We are interested in purchasing your high moisture corn. Call 308-287-2341 for current basis and contract price. That's Northwest Cattle Feeders at Brule, 287-2341.
Here's your forecast on News Talk 1240 AM and 106.1 FM. Mostly sunny skies here for today with highs in the upper 80s. Winds out of the southeast around 5 to 10 miles per hour. And for tonight, mostly clear skies, a low near 59. Friday, sunshine, high of 97 degrees. Saturday, mostly sunny, high of 87. Sunday, mostly sunny skies, a high around 83 degrees. That's your weather forecast for KODY 1240 AM, 106.1 FM.
Back to the KODY studio for the Outdoor Connection, brought to you by TJ and the crew from the Minnow Bucket at 1013 South Jeffers in North Platte. Here's Rick Windham.
Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Tony Shonan this morning, and we're talking about Boone and Crockett Club, which is a well-known, well-established organization from how many years back? 130 what, Tony?
134. We founded in 1887.
You know, I've got a couple shotguns that are just a little older than that, but that's a stretch.
Yeah, it's been around a long time.
Now, we've talked about some of the things that you guys are doing, but where can people go and find other resources that Boone and Crockett has for the hunter? What do they offer?
So, you know, we have our website, which is a very robust website. You can go on there, and like I mentioned before, there's information on all the things that we do. There's information on our position statements that we have. It's constantly updated with content about hunting stories and trophies taken, and so I would highly recommend going to our website. We also produce a wonderful quarterly magazine called Fair Chase that has a lot of hunting stories in it. It also talks about mission accomplishment, you know, what kind of work we're up to there. It lists out the most recent trophies that have been taken. And we also have a new newsletter. And so these are all geared around information, providing information to the American sportsmen and women of the country, and we've had a lot of very good response to all of those mediums.
What's the actual web address?
Let's see.
Is it just boonecrockett.org?
Yep, just www.boone-crockett.org.
I did go and look at it. It is very well done, very easy to navigate. Just lots and lots of information there. I could probably get lost in there for a few hours if I wasn't careful. But very informative. I thought whoever's put all that together, I'm sure you got a team of people working on that. They've done a nice job with it. And the navigation part is what's key to me, because if I go to a website and I can't find what I'm looking for within a few keystrokes, I'm done. I blow it away. I'm off to something else. It flowed very well, so I commend your people that are working on that.
Hey, Shrimp, I'll pass that along. Our visitation's gone way up, like 70% higher than what we were a year ago, and our cage views have been longer, so I think we've accomplished what we set out to do with that.
Very good. Now, I'm, as the head of Boone and Crockett and all like this, and I am certain you yourself are probably a hunter and fisherman.
Absolutely.
What's your favorite type of hunting?
So I really like elk hunt. I grew up elk hunting. My dad and my mom, we had a subsistence family that basically survived off wild game and fish. My dad was an outfitter. In fact, my brother still runs that outfitting business on a big old river. And so when I grew up, we hunted a lot of elk, and I just like that animal. It's kind of got a special kind of a mystery to it, and I like the country where it lives.
Very true. Very true. Got one last question for you, and this is something I found on the website. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Boone and Crockett whiskey. How does it taste, and where can I get some?
So, Rick, that's probably the best question you've asked all morning.
Very good.
So we actually have three great flavors. They're all handcrafted with a passion for the great outdoors. We have a straight bourbon that's pretty smooth at first. It ends up with kind of a smoky campfire finish. They age that for 2 years, and then it's rich with kind of a balanced spice of vanilla oak. We also have a rye, which is... has more of a caramel, wild berry, and sweet corn taste.
And it's a straight rye.
And then we also have bourbon whiskey. So, and you can get those at BooneAndCrocketWhiskey.com. If you go to that website, that's where you order that whiskey.
That may be a tough choice for me, because I do like rye whiskey, but the bourbon sounded really good.
Yeah, I'm a bourbon guy myself. But normally I am.
And sitting around a campfire sipping a little bourbon, it just doesn't get better than that.
No, and the bottle's kind of nice to look at because it's got a trophy on the front. So, you can look at the picture and you can have a little sip of whiskey and chat with your buddies around the campfire. And we tried to make a little something for everybody.
Very
the guys
good.
And the bourbons and all those folks.
Well, Tony, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me this morning. I do appreciate it. I know my listeners did as well. And you have a great day and an upcoming weekend. Hopefully we don't have any surprises for the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And thanks for having me on, Rick, and my best to you and all your listeners out there.
Take care, sir.
You take care, too.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.